Breast cancer is the second leading cause of death in women 35 to 54 years of age. It affects more than 250,000 American women in a year. Many of us know or have known a woman affected by the deadly disease, and certainly no woman wants to hear the news that she has breast cancer. Few things in a woman's life are as terrifying and confusing as a breast cancer diagnosis. The Breast Cancer Survival Manual, now in its fifth edition, is a concise, information-packed guide revised with all of the latest findings to help the women facing treatment feel informed and empowered. And to tell us more, we welcome Dr. John Link to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
How did the original edition of this book come to be?
I was the founder and director of a major breast cancer diagnostic and treatment center in Southern California, and I wrote the original manual 14 years ago just for our newly diagnosed patients, and it was so helpful for them that we decided to actually make it available to women all over the U.S. and the world, actually. So we published it, and so it's been very successful and very helpful, I think. So that's how it all started.
That practice is BreastLink Medical Group in Southern California. Since the book was first published, is it encouraging to see what has changed?
Yes. I mean, it's actually amazing. If you look at the first edition versus this new edition, I would say about 70 to 80% of the information is updated and is new. And in fact, between the fourth and the fifth edition, I would say 30 to 40% of the information is new, particularly around treatment options and treatment. In the last couple of years, we've seen huge strides made in treatment, particularly in new targeted therapies for women with breast cancer, new approaches surgically. So things really, and during this period, the cure rate, the survival rate has increased, and we're now just approaching 90%. So somewhere between 8 and 9 out of every 10 women will be cured of the disease.
When we talk about treatment and planning for treatment, you talk in the book about this new genomic classifications of breast cancer. Why is that important?
Well, we used to basically look at a breast cancer under the microscope and describe it. Now, since the Human Genome Project has sequenced the entire human DNA, we can now look at breast cancer cells and look at how they differ from the normal breast cell and how they differ from each other. So we now can divide breast cancer into four specific groupings, and we can really plan therapy based on that grouping because they're treated very differently.
And does it change the level of treatment in the sense of are we seeing less use of chemotherapy than we used to?
Yes, I think that's a really good point. With this genomic typing and also genomic testing, looking at which women will respond to chemotherapy, which won't, We are using about 30 to 40% less chemo than we did 4 years ago. So along with the cure rate improving, we're actually using less toxic therapy. So things are really being, I think, refined.
And what about surgery?
Surgery, we're doing, again, less surgery than we used to. The surgeons, the breast cancer surgeons, are getting better and better. They've learned from their plastic surgery colleagues how to keep scars small and not cause deformities or divots in the breast from the surgery. We are doing much less lymph node surgery, which is very good because we can get the same information now from imaging. And by looking at the very first lymph node only, so that that avoids doing what we call axillary resections, where we removed all of the lymph nodes, or practically all of them, under the armpit. We hardly ever have to do that anymore. And so women are less prone to this this condition called lymphedema. So that is a major improvement in the last couple of years.
So chemotherapy and surgery that were very much in the forefront of our treatment, those have been replaced with what?
Well, we still do surgery. We still remove the cancer. We do different types of radiation than we used to. We do much more limited radiation. And as far as protecting the woman in case cells have escaped, we have targeted therapies. We know which women do need chemo, and we haven't eliminated chemotherapy completely. We've just reduced the number of women that require it. But when we use it, women really need it, particularly in one of the four types of breast cancer, this genomic classification called the HER2 or the HER2 type. So things have been markedly refined, but we have 9 FDA-targeted therapies for breast cancer now that we use in our armamentarium. So, you know, surgery's not gone. We still do limited surgery, but it's certainly not as deforming. And we still do a lymph node surgery, but it's only removing the first lymph node usually. And we do less chemotherapy and more targeted therapy. So that's kind of where we're at, with an improved survival rate.
And for those that are at a high genetic risk, what about preventative drugs?
Yeah. For those women at a high hereditary kind of genetic increased risk, and these are women that carry a gene they have inherited from either their father or their mother, it's come down through their family. It's called the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene. Our approach usually is very careful surveillance when we know a woman has one of these genes, because she has about a 50% risk of getting breast cancer before her 50th birthday. And she's also prone to ovarian cancer. So many of these women will decide to have their breast tissue removed at some point, and after childbearing, usually have their ovaries removed. Drugs are not the mainstay. They help a little bit, but they're not the answer to this high-risk women.
You write in the book, and we've been talking about many of the changes, many of the advances, but one of the things that you wrote about in the initial book and you write about in this book is how important it is to get a second opinion.
Correct. And, you know, I don't think all women with newly diagnosed breast cancer need a second opinion. I think for those women that find themselves in a medical environment where there's not a team approach, where her doctors aren't talking to each other, or if she's just not feeling completely confident about the treatment plan that's been proposed, I think it's very acceptable these days for her to go outside her medical system and get an outside opinion. And I think we in the medical practice, I think we accept this. And actually, in our practice, we actually encourage it if a woman really feels she needs to do it. And certainly we want every woman, when she starts this journey, this treatment, we want her to feel confident that she is on the right path.
You're right at the very beginning of the book, the first sentence of the book, that this book is a crisis manual. And that's important to know that such a volume is out there.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very pleased with it. I think it really has the potential to help women.
And assuming that here we are in our fifth edition and we've talked about the great changes and improvements that have been made, I assume that you have optimism that those figures will only get better.
Yes. So the book is pretty current. I mean, it was released yesterday. So it is, I think, as current as a written book can be, but there will be updates along the way until another revision is required. So if listeners want to go to my website, we will have updates on the book, and it's drjohnlink.com.
DrJohnLink.com. Dr. Link is the author of the Breast Cancer Survival Manual in its fifth edition from Holt Paperbacks. Dr. Link, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending
time
with us. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Again, the name of the book is the Breast Cancer Survival Manual. It is revised and updated, a fifth edition published by Holt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.